up.
I feel like when I do this with my hair, it feels like there's so much hair gone.
Me too. Okay. I'm doing the same thing. I do this and like it's only like an inch of hair and I haven't washed it yet.
Mine was like, but mine I
feel like when you do this and like squeeze the water out in the shower, there's going to be a lot
of
hair gone.
She told me today when she was like rinsing all the color out and stuff, she was like, girl, you have a lot of hair. And I was just like,
I do too. Maybe that's just like a stylist compliment because Joellen always tells me that. Yeah. When I went in yesterday and she was putting some layers in and cutting it, doing face framing or whatever, she's like, you have a lot of hair.
Yeah.
I know.
That's.
And I want to not have a lot of hair.
She was like, I went in and she was like assessing my hair and stuff. And she was like, ooh, girl, you got a lot of hair. And I was like, I never know that I have a lot of hair. Until...
And she just sees dollar signs. Like, no shit. It's going to take way longer to color your hair.
No shit. So she...
I didn't even know that was an NMU flannel. That's cool.
So...
Anyway.
This is a grad studies and research flannel.
Oh, okay.
We got them ordered. Mm. And on the side... Sorry, that was probably quite loud. It has... NMU, GSNR, go further.
Oh, you're a dork. It's cool, though. I love the colors of it.
I know.
Anyway.
I could maybe steal you one before I leave grad studies.
You probably should. Are they unisex?
Yes. This is a small, but
I'd probably be a medium or large.
Okay.
If you did want to steal from your work right before
That's
you
fine.
Leave. So the rant I was just on.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll lay the framework. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Rant Session City with Erin and Chelsea.
Rant Session City.
So we're part of this like uncensored Marquette group of women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially just a Facebook group where people are like, where can I find like small boys shorts or where's the best place to go camping? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So somebody commented.
Well, wait. There was a Marquette community of women. And then the like people that run that were like, don't bash businesses. Don't do this. Don't do that. So then they opened.
It was a respectable.
Then there was like a drama. And then they opened the uncensored community of women.
And I know the woman that started it.
Oh, really? Well, now,
she's a great human, so I'm confused as to why she started this cesspool.
Well, because, like, if somebody said, hey, I need new tires, but I don't want to go to whatever. In the other group, people would say, go here and go here and go here. And then if somebody said, why don't you want to go there? And then if they responded with, I had
any
a negative experience, then it was like a...
Flagged.
Yeah. They were not cool. So now there's this other group where you can say like, hey, I went to this restaurant and I got horrible food poisoning and I want to know if anyone else did too.
Right.
So it's more.
It's, yeah.
Open. Okay. Continue.
So there's a lovely human who I imagine is a property manager, owns an Airbnb
it doesn't
or something.
I read more into it, but that's how the initial message got like.
So she had a couple inappropriate house guests that essentially like trashed the place.
Yeah.
From what I gathered, I don't know for sure, but that's just what I assumed. And so she asked, like, how do you handle this? Do you post a sign like, here are your recyclables? Whatever.
Put recyclables here, trash here, like separate bins.
So many wonderful people were just like, oh, like make a little sign, like put it up on the fridge, do whatever, be as informative as possible.
But then Chelsea wanted to start a fight. So she screenshotted one of the comments and sent it to me.
Fight.
Because she knows that I get really angry about this thing.
So one woman commented and she was just like, oh, God, what did she say? I can't even remember. But it was something to the effect of, if I'm going to pay for cleaning fees, I don't expect to have to clean up after myself.
So then I responded because it was the only thing, the only topic that was came up was putting trash in the trash can.
Yeah.
And I said, well, even at a hotel, I put trash in the can. And I'm on like a bunch of like Reddit like subreddit things.
Because it's your job.
Because it's my job.
Airbnb stuff, it's your job.
And I like seeing what people say. I 100% understand if you're paying a cleaning fee that you should not have to clean. Now, cleaning is different than picking up after yourself.
Correct.
If so, the Airbnbs that I manage, I don't ask anyone to take out the trash.
No.
Or strip the beds or vacuum or mop or start laundry or do anything like that, because I understand they're paying me as the cleaner to take care of it. Mm-hmm. And I 100% get that. However, most 99% of people will still put all of their trash
yep.
in the trash can. They'll put their dirty dishes in the dishwasher.
Which is what I do. Anytime Mike and I have stayed at an Airbnb, I've always like tidied up before I left because it's fucking rude.
And that's like this line that people are so fucking weird about. Like, if someone stays at an Airbnb for 2 weeks and they're mad that they're paying a cleaning fee where somebody takes out the trash, like, at some point you're going to have to fucking take out the trash.
Yes.
Like, I had one guest that stayed for, like, a week and a half, probably. And when they left, it was like they left because they got a phone call that someone was in the hospital. But I watched the security cameras, and I know that that's not how they left. Like, they packed up all their things and slowly left the apartment. But the entire refrigerator was full. The Tupperware containers that we provide and, like, the glass mm-hmm. bowls and everything in the fridge full of food. Sink full of dishes. Like, wet towels on the floor, which is a pet peeve of mine because you can't just throw wet towels on the floor because then on carpet you leave a wet spot, or on hardwood you can wreck them.
Yes. Tile floor in a hotel is different.
Tile floor in a hotel. Yeah. Throw that shit. Actually, what I recommend for hotels is take your dirty towels and throw them in the tub.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it helps the housekeepers too, because then it soaks up the water. Like, if you shower before okay. you leave in the morning, yeah. that takes care That's of all true. The excess water in the tub. So then it's easier for them to, like, sanitize it.
I love someone in the biz because I'm always like, how much do you tip? Like a housekeeper, like if you stay at a hotel for X amount,
in
if
a
you
hotel,
do this.
Well, now hotels don't do like nightly cleaning.
No.
Like someone's not coming
it's
in
like
your room
every other day.
It's every 3 days.
Yeah.
Or not at all unless you ask for it. So it depends. But I'll usually do like $10 or $20 at a hotel if we stay there for more than a couple of days, and I don't know. Nobody comes in. But even then, like, those little tiny trash cans, if they fill up overnight, which they do, especially if you're, like, going out to eat and
yes.
bringing leftovers,
mm-hmm.
when housekeeping comes around, you just, like, toss that in their garbage bin. I don't understand why this is, like, such an issue.
Yeah.
But people act like when you say, like, clean up after yourself, like, oh, you need to scrub the grout. Or, like, scrub the oven out or, like, unclog the... No,
Who is
you don't
telling you to do that?
Well, okay. So, apparently, there are Airbnbs...
That is wild.
...that charge a big, giant fee. And then it's still strip the beds, start the laundry, start the dishwasher, take out the trash.
I don't know if I would stay at one like that where it was just,
well,
like...
sometimes they trick you, I guess, according to the internet. Sometimes they trick you... by leaving that in the house, but not in the, like, description of the Airbnb.
Oh,
so you have, like, a list once
mm-hmm.
you get there. But, like, Stacy and I, we stayed as a group, but Stacy and I were, like, cooking the whole time. Like, people get so pissed off about, like, wiping down counters. But if I'm staying somewhere for a week and I'm going to be cooking... It would be great if there was, like, Lysol wipes.
Mm-hmm.
So that if I, say, cut up a watermelon, I have, like, something to clean
yes.
up the juice. But people act like, oh my God, they asked me to clean at the Airbnb. I'm on vacation. I shouldn't have to do that.
But like, who's going to do it for you then?
So you're just going to fucking trash the place?
Right.
Because you don't have to. I'm paying someone $100 to come in and clean after I've been here a week.
Yeah.
No. Like, I'll fucking vacuum. When we stay, because we typically stay in, like, Florida when we all stay together. It's all tile floors. And you know I'm fucking sweeping the sand up every day because yeah. I don't want sand all over my feet.
Correct.
I want to track it in the shower and track it into bed and everywhere. Like, and people act like, oh, they asked me to sweep the floor on vacation. Well, so you want your bed full of sand?
Right.
This is my rant.
That's okay.
I have a lot of feelings about this.
Yeah.
So anyway, this woman on Facebook is like, oh, and I had to put my phone down because I was going to say mean things.
I was going to say mean things. And you're not about saying mean things.
No. And we've had, so the one place, it's an apartment, the cleaning fee is $75. And somebody.
And that's not a bad cleaning fee.
I don't think so.
No.
She stayed a couple nights and then she messaged us about how she didn't think the cleaning fee was fair because she was a very clean person.
Okay, well, honey, no.
So a cleaner.
Same across the board.
And then there's people too, I think, that when they're talking about cleaning, it's like, oh yeah, I made my bed and I wiped down the kitchen table. The house is clean. Like, no.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't matter how clean or dirty someone is. If I go in to clean all the surfaces, including the fridge, microwave, top of the toaster, yep. coffee pot, everything that people touch, everything in the bathroom gets sprayed with disinfectant and wiped down. Everything gets vacuumed. Everything gets mopped.
The bedding gets stripped.
The bedding gets stripped yeah. and washed and put back on. Everything gets dusted. So when people are like, oh, I wasn't that dirty. Well, okay, so you didn't leave crumbs all over the floor. Either way, I have to fucking vacuum up the crumbs.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm still going to have to vacuum.
Yeah.
And that is still my time.
That's still my time.
We stayed at that Airbnb in Tecumseh, and it was $80 a night, and there was no cleaning fee, but you had to take your trash out at the end and dump it.
Which, yeah.
Which, totally fine. $80 a night, and it was a cute little place downtown.
Yeah.
It was only $80 a night, though, because it was on the main drag in Tecumseh.
I mean, the main drag of Tecumseh isn't terrible.
It's the whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the whole town.
Yeah. The whole town is on the main drag.
But that was a super cute place, and I would recommend anybody. I was going to send it to you, because it was really cute, if you guys were ever downstate.
That would be good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really inexpensive. Was there a night minimum?
Two nights, I think. But
oh,
two nights isn't bad, especially if you're going down to, like, do family stuff or whatever.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, family stuff now is changing because Aaron just moved
over. I know.
So now, like, there's more Baumans are coming up.
That's exciting.
It is. I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah.
We helped her move last weekend when it was 10,000 degrees.
Yeah, it's been insanely hot. I mean, not anymore, but.
Yeah, we helped her move on Saturday and got a bunch of shit in her house. And it's actually, like, super cute in a really nice, cute little neighborhood.
Yeah.
And good. Then we went out on Pat's boat on Sunday, which is why my hair color and skin match right now. Because.
For sure.
Sunshine.
I know. But I got a little bit of sun this weekend, too, so.
I said this was probably my last opportunity to, like, get out and burn.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that opportunity, except when I, especially when my face burns, I notice, like, the wrinkles in my forehead get deeper and deeper and deeper. Like, oh.
I am fine with it.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm not.
That's okay.
And I have, like, wrinkles on my chest, too, which I... Those aren't as bad.
You know what causes that? Sun damage.
Yeah.
Sun damage causes that.
Uh-huh. Says the girl that is out in the sun twice as much as me.
I am out in the sun all the time running.
Yeah.
Running and doing all the things.
Yeah, my chest definitely has sun damage and my forehead is on its way there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep touching my hair. It feels weird.
That's okay. Anyway.
Straight and weird.
I was going to talk about the half that I ran, but I feel like we should. I'll talk about it after.
What? Just.
Does it? Oh, so I ran Marquette Half Marathon, and I crushed 2 hours.
Yes.
Even Greg messaged me, which I was very happy because he normally, like, does not give a fuck. He messaged me, and he's like, good job.
I
was like,
thanks. Actually, we were in the car. I don't know what we were doing when I saw your message, or I saw your post on Facebook or whatever, and I was like, oh yeah, Chelsea crushed 2 hours. She's super happy. And he's like, I'm going to have to text her. And I kind of looked at him. Oh. I'm like, geez, Greg, why are you being nice all of a sudden?
He does like me.
I mean, for the most part.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, but I did that. And like mile 11 and 12, I got up to 10 miles in my training and then was just like, yeah, good enough.
Close enough,
right?
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
And then I got to 10 miles when I got into Marquette and I was like, oh no.
So
I went from pacing like 8:20.
Does it still go up like 3rd Street or
8:45? No, it ends at the dome.
Oh, well that, I mean,
yeah,
that's a blessing.
Yes. But yeah, I was pacing like 8:20. I was looking at being like under an hour 50 and then I got into town and I was like, nope, shit is not happening.
That I think happens, well, because you're going primarily downhill.
Yeah.
Like, you start out kind of in the little rolling hills,
mm-hmm.
and then you get to, like, Shunks.
Yeah.
And then it's just straight downhill, it's downhill to the lake.
And then it evens out.
And then it flattens out.
And then you're like, oh, fuck.
So, yeah, instead of running flat, it's the equivalent of running flat for a long time and then running uphill.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Because you're running down and you're like, oh, damn, I'm fast. Everything is great. My life is good. And then you get to the lake and you have to run a couple miles of flat. You're like, oh, no. Yeah. I mean, it's better than the full where you go out around the island.
I know.
What?
I might do the full next year.
Have you done the full, Marquette?
Twice.
Mm-hmm. I can't keep track of these things.
That's okay.
I know you've done the half a few times. I've done the half a couple times.
It's a good half. And the full is pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are worse ones. Like, Glass City sucked because it's all out in the open.
Yeah, that would be annoying. I will probably run the half next year.
Yeah.
Gotta start setting some goals.
Giggity, giggity.
I'm running the shore run.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm doing the 5K. Nice. And Greg's doing the half.
I was going to do the half, and then I'm going to be in Florida.
Womp womp.
I mean, I guess womp womp.
You can send me all the delicious food when I'm suffering from running a measly 5K.
That's okay. Yeah. I'll send you all of the food pictures, because we're eating at a couple, like, pretty good restaurants down there.
I was talking to John about running it, about coming up just that morning, and...
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I haven't been running enough to do the half.
Yeah.
But I also haven't been running enough to, like, crush the 5K. So he'd be kind of, like, in between. And he's like, I don't want to run a 5K unless I'm going to, like, be up there. Because he's fast
competitive.
Runner and competitive.
He's fast. Yeah.
And I said, I feel the same way because it was, like, 10 years ago and I was in the top 3 females.
Yeah. That's the one that Gabe got. Because it was the year that Dad passed away.
Yeah. So I, like, crushed the 5K. And then now, you know, 10 years later, I'm just running it to run it. I'm just doing it to get out there and get some miles in.
To get fit.
And now, yeah, not like I'm winning this bitch. So maybe I'll run it and then I'll get, like,
motivated.
That competitive feeling again and then... work on that for next year. I don't know why you're not just going out crushing 5Ks.
I could crush 5K right now.
You totally could. Just embarrass everyone. Oh, you're here to run for fun? I'm not.
That's like I posted...
See you 20 minutes later.
Fuck off. I posted on Monday that like I went for a run and it was super hot. And my friend Ed was just like, didn't you just do a half? And I was like, yeah, it was Saturday. Today is Monday.
Well, so Doug ran the marathon.
Yeah.
And then...
he crushes all sorts of shit all the time. He's a beast.
And then him and Greg go mountain biking the next morning when it's 90 degrees.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, let's go mountain biking. Okay. I guess they had a really good time, but still, they were doing stuff, and Greg thought Doug like wasn't at his normal mountain biking level.
Because he fucking like, ran 26 miles.
Yeah. He just ran a marathon yesterday. No shit.
Of course not.
And that's our lives.
And lives. Anyway. Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to the evacuated and flooded town of Northfield in Dreams, which came out in 1999. It's an hour and 40 minutes long, and you can find this bad boy on Apple, Amazon, or YouTube for $3.99.
Yeah, and it is based on the novel, which I would like to read.
Yes.
Doll's Eyes by Barry Wood.
Yes. It's directed by Neil Jordan, who did Interview with a Vampire.
Mm.
Very cool. It's written by Barry Wood, who did the novel, Bruce Robinson, and Neil Jordan. It stars Annette Bening as Claire. She was in The Great Outdoors, Mars Attacks, and American Beauty. Mm-hmm. American Beauty is still one of my favorite movies, even though it's a little nowadays.
Agreed, yeah.
With Kevin Spacey and the teenage situation.
I mean, that was
it was
back
I mean,
then.
all the time, but yeah. Aidan Quinn as Paul, her husband. He was in Legends of the Fall and Practical Magic. He has a wonderful voice.
You know what? He could be a lot less fortunate looking, and his voice would still...
Yeah.
He's got a really nice voice.
He could do, like, coffee commercials or something.
He
like,
could.
Katie Sagona as Rebecca, Claire and Paul's daughter.
Daughter.
She was in You've Got Mail and Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men. Robert Downey Jr. as Vivian, the murderer. Iron Man, Sherlock Holmes.
Lots of things.
Lots of other things. Paul Guilfoyle as Detective K. He was in Pandemic and Striptease. And there are a couple other, like, minor characters that are pretty famous, but it just
they're recognizable.
Kind of, they're recognizable.
Like her doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The couple of doctors that she has.
The couple doctors.
The surgeon or the hospital and then the psychiatrist are both recognizable actors.
One of the orderlies to the female, very recognizable. But I was just like, I'll just keep it to...
I'll keep it to this. This was filmed in New England. I didn't get a lot of information about where exactly other than the hotel.
I tried finding the house, and I couldn't find
the house. I couldn't
either. Yeah.
So the hotel is the Wentworth by the Sea, which I think they call, like, the Carlton or something in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that it was filmed, it was, like, a late 1800s hotel that was just kind of flying apart. Maybe early 1900s. I can't remember exactly. Beautiful hotel. But at the time, it looked exactly how it was in the film. But now they've renovated it, and it's an actual...
Isn't it a Marriott now? I think it's a Marriott.
It's a Marriott. But, like, from just hotel life. Like, Marriotts don't always have Marriott in big, giant letters on the front.
Correct, yeah.
Like, sometimes they, like, you know, have other names. And then in the corner, it'll be like, by Marriott.
Yeah.
It got pretty shitty reviews.
Absolutely. And I read some of them and I was like, oh, like, I can understand.
And it won no awards.
I got it.
I've just always really liked it. I've always thought it was interesting. I think the acting
is
different.
Amazing. Annette Bening does a phenomenal job in it.
Mm-hmm.
She's really good.
Robert Downey Jr. is great in it. It did get bad reviews. And I don't know if it was maybe because I saw it when it came out. 99 or you know, maybe 2000, whatever. I saw it like fairly early on and it just kind of stuck with me, but I like it.
Well, and that was like, so Robert Downey Jr. had a very interesting...
The 90s were sketchy for him.
Colored past, right? But he was sober up until like halfway through filming and then completely like...
Derailed. Yeah.
Luckily, he's like pulled his shit together. But I do remember this movie was kind of like the tipping point in filming and stuff where he was just like, nah.
No, I don't want to be sober anymore.
All of the drugs and alcohol.
Yes. So in this film, it begins in 1965. The town of Northfield was evacuated for the Northfield Reservoir. So they basically dammed and flooded the entire city.
Which is wild that this is a thing that actually happens. Or happened. I don't know if it's common practice now, but...
I don't know, but if you're interested in it, you can just, like, look that up, because there's a city in Michigan that this happened. Like, down by Detroit.
Whoa!
Where they flooded a city for a reservoir.
Okay. I guess it's easier flooding than, like, demolishing structures and then flooding it.
Yeah. You know? They just... I don't know. And I wanted to know, like, the environmental impact. Like, yeah, how do you...
For sure.
With, like, lead paint and, you know, septic tanks and...
Well, like...
I just wonder,
fuel oil stuff and everything. Yeah.
I don't know.
There would have to be, like, major preparation leading up to it.
Well, maybe. Probably not in 1965.
Correct.
Anyway, so they flood the town. They have, like, cool opening scenes where they're, like, scuba diving through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really cool.
It's pretty neat.
I like the music, too. And yeah. I didn't get a chance to look up who did
it. Would you ever, like, scuba in a abandoned town? Like, on a sunny day?
Greg wants to learn how to scuba to do that. I read a book called Shadow Divers. And it's just people that are kind of like adventure divers that do that to find like treasure.
Yeah.
Not necessarily abandoned towns, but like abandoned ships and stuff. And it just sketched me right out.
No.
Like,
I have no interest. Things underneath.
But Shadow Divers is like true. It's like written by like actual divers. And it's a really cool book. But no.
Yeah, things under the water creep me out. Yes. That's the thing.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, so they flood the town. It goes to present day. You see Paul come home. He's a pilot for, like, commercial airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Claire has been drawing. She's a book illustrator.
Yep.
But she's been drawing things, and he kind of looks at him, and he's like, oh, what's this? And she's like, it's the dreams I've been having.
Mm-hmm.
She dreams about an orchard, and there's a missing child that's, you know.
There have been a couple.
A couple missing children. She sees that missing child being led by, she can't tell if it's a man or a woman, but they have red hair through the orchard. Paul just kind of dismisses this. He doesn't give a shit.
But, see, I didn't get that from him because he's just like, well, like, you should go to the police. Like, he says that. I don't know if he says it out of, like, jest. Like, oh, go to the police then.
I think he says it more like he's annoyed by the whole thing.
Okay.
Like,
because I wrote down specifically, Paul seems very supportive of her having visions. The opposite?
Opposite way. He's just like, if this is an issue, go to the police.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just walk into the police station, hey, I'm having these visions.
Yeah. I mean, at least he wasn't like, look at me, like, dismissing a man's comment. But at least he wasn't like, no, you're crazy.
True.
But I guess I don't know if you're taking it how you
interpreted it.
It's almost worse.
He's tired of hearing about her dreams because her he doesn't believe in them.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, oh, if that's bothering you, do something about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Not like, let's talk. Let's get you to therapy. Let's investigate this on our own. Let's drive to some orchards and check it out. He's just kind of like, go to the police then. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Maybe because I know what happens.
That's true.
So he, with his like pilot life, tells her that he's going to miss their daughter's birthday. She's still having visions. And he decides to go to the police for her. So I guess this is kind of supportive. He goes to the police. The officer gives him a hard time. Like, oh, you want us to search the 300 apple orchards and blah, blah, blah.
In New England in the fall.
Yeah. And he just kind of like puts him off. Well, then when Paul like pushes it a little more, the officer says that she's already been found.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rebecca's going to be in a play.
Oh, she's going to be in Snow White.
She's going to be in Snow White. She's going to be a fairy. She's got this super cute little outfit, and she's practicing. She's practicing wearing her dad's flight jacket, and a note falls out of the pocket.
Oh, God.
Now, the letter is from a woman that he's apparently having an affair with from Australia.
He says he isn't. He said he just took her to dinner, but...
Then he turns it around and blames Claire.
That's what I said, too. I was just like, first of all, how dare you? You fucked up, but you're going to, like, turn it against Claire. Well, if you just weren't crazy pants, then I wouldn't have to cheat on you.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
If no. you were more present in our relationship, I wouldn't have to cheat on you. This is your fault.
Correct. I did not like that.
See?
Is dinner cheating? Would you consider if someone you were with?
Dinner is not cheating.
Correct.
But when he says he wanted to have sex with her, but he didn't, I looked
it's
at
emotional.
Greg and I said, that's a bad thing to say still.
That's
a horrible thing. Oh, I wanted to have sex with her, but I didn't.
But you know what? I didn't because I thought of our marriage, even though you...
Even though you're crazy. Okay, pat on the back. Oh, I'm so sorry I got mad at you for almost cheating on me. No.
Yeah.
Dinner itself, not cheating.
Correct.
If this chick is, like, writing him letters, though, and he's always, like, bouncing out to Australia for no reason, Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like the blaming thing.
No, he turns it around
immediately.
On her so fast. And then... I think later on, she actually, they're like hugging and she's like, I'm sorry.
But like, okay, he never apologizes though.
Uh-uh.
She does. I'm like, if you fuck up, own your shit and apologize.
Maybe I wouldn't have wanted to have sex with someone else if you were just a better wife.
If you just were the opposite of what you are right now.
Yeah. If you didn't have visions, which I'm sure.
And had an Australian accent.
He's known about.
And I'm probably assuming, blonde and tan.
And probably like 20 years younger.
Maybe.
Okay. Being buttholes tonight. We're never going to get through this.
Fuck you, Paul.
Okay, so the performance, amazing. This childhood play, I just feel like it screams money.
So
these people have money, money, money.
It screams money. And it's like it's outside and it's at night in like in an orchard or something.
It's in like a wooded park.
It's what I imagine like a Midsummer Night's Dream would be filmed in.
One of the prince comes in on a horse, an actual horse.
You rich New England fucks.
I mean. But money went into that. Also, Claire at one point, you see her at home working on the costume, and all the girls' costumes are identical and beautiful. The acting is on point.
You have to get all of your lines right or you're not going to be going to horse lessons on Saturday.
Yeah. We're not getting you that pony you wanted for Christmas. Okay. Okay, well, Rebecca, unfortunately, vanishes from the performance.
Mm-hmm. This is a very intense scene.
It is.
Like, bad.
The acting here is great. And you kind of see, like, Claire's panic.
Mm-hmm.
Going, like, girl to girl looking for her daughter. Mm-hmm. Realizes she's gone. All of a sudden, sweep, billion cops show up. Everybody shows up searching the woods. Well, they find her wings hanging in a tree.
Yeah.
Like, far from where they were.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of realizes at this point that the vision that she had of the girl in the orchard was actually Rebecca.
Yeah.
So meltdown.
She has a complete meltdown.
Mm-hmm. They find her, I don't know how soon after, but they find Rebecca in the reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
Paul shows up because he left right after the performance to go to work. So maybe a couple days.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
I think it'd be long enough for him to go on like the couple of flights that he had to go on and then
come back.
Yeah.
That his kid was missing.
Well, he left. Like, he, I'm sure, wasn't even on the plane yet.
Right.
And was like, your kid's missing. So how does that work?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
He's a terrible human.
While they're standing there, she's watching them search the reservoir. She sees, like, some action come up. She realizes what's happening.
Yeah.
Paul shows up right at that second. So she goes to Paul. She's crying. She gets in his car, his little sports car, speeds away. The officer that had met her or that had talked to Paul before about her visions, he's chasing her in his car, like yelling at her, telling her to stop. And she swerves and crashes into the reservoir.
Yeah.
Now, Greg, watching it, said she would be dead 100%.
Absolutely.
No coming back from that. However, 6 weeks later, she wakes up.
Is it 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Okay. She's been in a coma for 6 weeks.
Okay. I missed that.
She wakes up. They'd done surgery. Real sad. She asks them why they woke her up.
Oh, it's just, it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. She's still, while she's in the hospital, because obviously after she wakes up, she's in there for a few days, she keeps having dreams about a boy. She has a dream about an orchard and then agrees to psychiatric care.
Yeah.
After...
Which, like, she doesn't fight the psychiatric care.
No, not at all.
The entire film. Well, towards the end, yeah, but...
Yeah. Yeah, she's down to get help. She's like, mm-hmm. I don't know why this is happening to me. Now, another stupid Paul issue. He takes Claire home.
Mm.
She's straight home from the hospital, you know, sees her daughter's, wants to see her daughter's room. Because she's had no time to grieve.
No.
Like, he's had a month and a half, probably two months at this point.
Yeah.
She's had no time. Why is he trying to hook up with her?
This is... Just give her time. That's all you needed to do. Just give her a few weeks.
So they're like messing around and she has another vision while they're like making out and she bites him bad in the lip where it's like bleeding. And he gets like mad about it. And she's saying that she's sorry, obviously. But like... She's unwell. Like,
yeah.
But he's mad at her then.
Yes.
Like, whatever. So he's back to work.
And he like yells at her too. He's just like, you know, all of my like sick leave and all of my PTO has been eaten up and I can't stay home anymore. And I'm like, dude, your wife had a psychotic episode.
One, your daughter just died. Two, it caused your wife to flip the fuck out and crash herself into a lake. And I'm sure he'd
like,
been...
Like, maybe you should be home.
I'm sure he'd been working.
Right.
In the meantime. It's not like he was off that whole 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway. Because I think at one point, she's like, how long have you been here? And he says, like, a day or two or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he was there waiting for her to wake up. Which, understandable.
Understandable.
But... Blaming her for, like, needing help.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't like that. Anyway, he's off to work again. Their housekeeper is going to keep an eye on her. Now, this is, like, her crazy freak out. Mary is the housekeeper.
Mary. Mm-hmm.
Well, Claire wants to leave for smokes. Mary says, don't worry about it. You're supposed to stay home. I told Paul I'd keep an eye on you. I'll go out to get cigarettes.
Why don't you come with me?
Yes. And this is a timeline issue, too, that I have because she leaves to get cigarettes. dog runs off after like some weird events. Like she looks outside. She's like working in her art studio and she looks outside and sees the swing swinging in the tree and her dog like jumping around barking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes out. There's an apple on the swing. Weird.
Weird.
The dog runs off. She chases after the dog. She runs into the officer out in the woods.
Who's just like, that's strange to me. Yeah.
He kind of keeping an eye on the place. But I think he's believing her at this point.
Yeah.
That she does have visions. So she goes back to the house and ends up having a complete breakdown. She walks in and the house is full of smoke because Mary had been baking something and it was burning in the oven. So she takes it out and throws it out the door, which I thought was weird. Like, mm-hmm. I've burned things in the oven and I don't have a meltdown over
it. Get out of my house.
Yeah. Like, no. When there's this mountain of apples on the table, well, then she freaks out and she starts shoving all the apples down the garbage disposal. Then she kind of like switches levels, I guess you could say,
yeah.
And starts hallucinating mm-hmm. That apples are spraying everywhere.
It's wild.
And like,
it's like the cherry scene in Witches of Eastwick.
It is pretty nasty. She goes up to her room and she's telling, I think, Paul on the phone
mm-hmm.
that he's in the computer. She throws her computer out the window.
Yeah, because she's hearing like Vivian at this point, like laughing, like the serial killer, like
yes,
laughing in her ears, like typing, like she witnesses someone typing on the computer, like
she... Yes. And I think it's around this point she realizes that she's got a psychic connection with the serial killer and
yeah.
She can't do anything about it.
Yep.
She's trying to like read the visions, but it's not helping her at all. Obviously her daughter passed
right.
away. She knows or believes, I think at this point too, that there's another girl.
Mm-hmm.
So then this is my timeline. Mary is still gone buying cigarettes, but she talked to Paul on the phone.
You screwed the pooch, Mary.
Paul had gotten home. And she needed a solid hour to paint all over the house. She wrote Rebecca all over. She wrote this weird nursery rhyme kind of poem thing that she'd been hearing.
Yes.
All in red paint, top to bottom in the house. Completely fucking trashed the place. And then she was laying on Rebecca's bed with her wrist cut.
Yeah.
When Paul comes home.
But it's nighttime now.
So just Mary is like,
Mary's
just fucking off the rest of the day.
I don't need to take care of this woman.
So that was
her
just like
issues.
A timeline issue I had.
Yeah.
Like Mary's just gone. She's trying to explain it to the doctor, and of course it sounds completely loony. That night, I think it is, their dog doesn't come home.
Mm-hmm.
The dog's been missing. But while she's in the hospital, he comes to visit her. Now, the doctor's been trying to get Paul to commit her, and he's been, like, putting it off.
Yeah, because she's just been in, like, general care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the dog goes missing, yet shows up and is outside her window at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She climbs out the window, chases the dog into the street. Obviously, the dog is not there. But she causes, like, a massive pileup.
Yeah.
Like, 20 cars. Because a semi, like, jackknives
yeah.
in front of
it's
her.
Insane.
And, like, everyone goes
it's
crashing
insane.
Into it. Well, that's when Paul, like, decides, you know, he's looking at the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's time. That night, she dreams that she's in this, like, kind of beautiful red dress. Like, flowy red dress.
It is very pretty.
And it kind of reminded me of The Cell,
mm-hmm.
like that kind of imagery.
Because there's the other images are so pale.
Yeah.
And not as vivid as what she's wearing.
And she's in this like really vibrant red dress.
It's very 90s.
Very 90s.
Mm-hmm.
She's walking down kind of the beach in like a beach community in this very vibrant red dress. She sees this old abandoned hotel. She walks into the hotel.
She goes to room 401.
Oh, yeah. Goes to room 401. And there she sees their dog eating Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when she wakes up from the dream, you come to find out that she's in a padded room.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pacing. And someone notices her, like, the patient just woke up.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? She looks out the door, and it's just like a glass door. And she sees Paul with the doctor.
Yeah.
And then she realizes that it hasn't happened yet. So she, once again, meltdown city, completely flips the fuck out and is like, don't do this, don't do that, this hotel. And no one's listening to her.
No one's listening.
Because she's raving at this point. Like,
she's cuckoo banana basket crazy.
It is. So they shoot her up with drugs, of course, to calm her down. And she's trying to say, don't let him go to the hotel. Don't let him go to the hotel.
Why was he going to the hotel anyway?
Well, the next day, Mary answers the phone at their house and says, there's a woman on the phone that has your dog.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, I watched this movie today, by the way.
So he goes to the hotel.
Why didn't he get the police?
Well, I mean,
this whole situation, I guess.
Would you call the police?
It's an abandoned hotel.
If Cooper went missing and someone said, oh, yeah, I saw Cooper. He was in this hotel. I just shut him in this room because I didn't know what else to do. Here's the number.
What I know of true crime, I would call the police.
Oh, yeah. Now that I say it. But he wouldn't. Speaking of true crime, sidetrack. Greg was running the other day. And he got kind of like cut off by someone. Like he was crossing the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to like pull out even though he had the right of way.
Yeah. People do that which shit happens. All the time. Yeah.
Like turning in front of you and mm-hmm. stuff even though you're trying to cross the street. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, I was running down whatever street. And he goes, I saw that car like three more times on that street. And I'm like, yeah, it's like almost like being a chick running at night.
I was just gonna be like, oh, it's just like being a woman running.
Like, that's happened to me a lot. That's mm-hmm. happened to me on the street I freaking live on, where I've been running. And okay, sure, it's probably like somebody.
How's it feel, Greg?
Like carting their kids around yeah. or whatever. But when I said that, he's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it's scary because you don't know what's gonna happen.
I always like to talk to Mike, like, because when he goes mountain biking or even if he's biking on Heritage, he'll put in headphones, he'll like just like zone out, and I'm like, you cannot zone out as a female. This is a very like female powered podcast right now. Yeah. But like,
well, it's because you don't need to, like, Paul,
you don't need to put up with that, Claire, fuck Paul. Yeah. No, but like, I run down the list of everything that I do before I go running. Yeah. I message Mike to let him know where I'm going. I wear one earbud in with like noise canceling headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And I make sure that I send a beacon text to Mike and Bree every once in a while because Bree lives like right down the street.
Yeah.
And then I like notify Mike halfway through my run, like halfway turning around. I send pictures.
I usually shoot Greg a text and mm-hmm. I'll say, hey, I'm doing this. But then I have people that I stay in contact pretty regularly yeah. throughout the day. Like, I talk to you probably mm-hmm. every day. So, yeah. and same. Then, like, Pat is usually, hey, what's going on kind of thing. Emma's the same way. What are you doing today? So they at least know, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to head into town and go for a run.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, I'm starting here, I'm blah, blah, blah. But yeah. I tell Greg that.
I tell Mike that.
But anyway.
But yeah.
He goes mm-hmm. to the hotel.
Fuck you, Paul.
And it is scary. And I can't it is scary. Imagine like this situation. It feels weird right there. Sorry. I just felt
that's
like
okay.
A weird lump. I hope it's not a goiter. I eat too much salt.
She had goiters. Football-shaped goiter. Mahatma Gandhi.
I did not have relations with Gandhi.
That's Seinfeld.
Yeah, so he goes to the room that the dog's supposed to be in this like abandoned hotel, and the dog is like tied up with multiple ropes wrapped around him to like the end of the bed.
This is terrible.
And he's like, oh, buddy, and like goes up to this dog and is petting him and like trying to figure out how to untie him. And that's when the murderer, whose face you have not seen yet, stabs him in the eye.
Ugh. It's just awful.
As this is going on, too, Claire is in the hospital, like, in her cell, like, trying to explain it to the doctor. Like,
this is what's going to happen.
And she's like, this is what's going to happen. And he's like, oh, is Dobie a person? Or no, like, Dobie's a dog, you fucking idiot. She's, like, drugged up, like, trying to tell him what's happening. But as the murder is happening, she loses her shit and attacks the doctor and starts choking him.
Yeah.
Obviously, they just give her more drugs and just veg her out.
Because that's how you handle situations like that.
Yeah. So then she's on a lot of drugs, and then they put her in kind of like the Gen Pop area of the hospital.
Safety first.
Safety first. Where somebody brings her, this woman, her roommate, brings her like a cup of tea, and they like chat a little bit. That night when they're in their room,
she is like her roommate's
a cool,
super
cool
chill
lady. Yeah. And it sounds like she's been there a very long time. She finds, Claire sees the wallpaper kind of peeling and peels it off, and underneath is this nursery rhyme that she's had stuck in her head. Interesting. Well, then she figures out that the murderer had stayed in her room, had been in the same hospital. She, that night, has visions of another little girl named Ruby. She's trying to tell the doctor again. Of course, it sounds ridiculous.
And she knows it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like, I know that I sound crazy, but this is happening.
Yeah. At one point, too, when she's talking to the doctor, she says something like, oh, yeah, I'm having visions. He's putting them in my head of the little girl, blah, blah, blah. And the doctor goes, well, who did that to your wrists? And she's like, oh, that was all me.
Yeah, she has a very, like, nonchalant, like, conversation with the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was me. Like,
she knows that the murderer's name is Vivian at this point.
Vivian Thompson.
Yeah. She goes, he was a patient in this hospital. He stayed in my room. Like, this is who's feeding me this information. He has another little girl. He's, you know. But the guy's trying to make all, the doctor's trying to make all these connections. Like, she's having dreams about water while her daughter
drowned.
She was in an accident in the water. She's having visions of the orchard, visions of her in a red dress.
He's trying to like connect them all. Yeah, instead of
Vivian has pretty vibrant red hair. The girl missing's Ruby.
Yeah.
You know, so he's trying to piece it all together. Like, this is all in your head. And she's like, yeah, I realize this all sounds.
I just made the connection that the play was Snow White.
With the apples.
With the apples.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
All connected. So then the doctor, I don't know if he's just like just ruling it out for himself or what, but he goes down into the records and looks it up, and there was a patient.
And it was a children's hospital.
Yes.
Originally. But the children's section of the hospital closed in like 1977 or something.
Yes. So he looks up the record. He finds out that Vivian had been horribly abused by his mother.
Yeah.
Been tied up, and this, you see bits of this through the whole thing, like with her visions, but he'd been tied up or chained up to his bed when the city or the town was flooded. He escaped from that, but he was like already fucked up from the abuse from his mom.
Absolutely.
So then they take him, they go take him to the children's hospital, shock therapy.
It's awful.
It's awful.
It's awful.
trying to cure him.
But that's, I mean, in the 60s.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
So the doctor was like, holy shit, like, Claire, something's up.
Yeah.
Like, where did she get this information
and
from?
And he's, like, looking through the records and stuff, and he's like, I'm so sorry, Claire.
Yeah.
Because he's like, fuck.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he finds out the truth. Well, that night, and at one point, too, Claire says, I'm just going to let him possess me so that I can get out of here.
Just, yeah, get out of here, get over
he
is, it.
He like, escaped from here.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to figure it out. So that night, she has sort of a dream,
mm-hmm.
vision, I don't know.
It goes back and forth.
Yes, of Red, who they also call him,
mm-hmm.
Escaping. So he climbs through a ceiling vent.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back to like her crawling through the same vent, him looking down into different rooms. He finally gets to like a staff changing room.
Yeah.
And there's a nurse down below, stabs and kills her, then gets dressed up. And he's got shoulder length hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 15-ish?
14 or 15, yeah.
He puts on a female nurse's uniform, mm-hmm. some lipstick, fixes up his hair, puts on a little jacket, goes outside and hitches for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
So she, Claire, does basically the same thing, obviously without killing anyone.
Yeah.
Drops down. Now, what? The security in this hospital.
No shit. Thank you.
When you see him walk out the door, like, he walks out the door, walks out through the gates into the parking lot. When Claire does it, she passes the front desk person who doesn't even look up at her.
No, not at all.
And then she bumps into somebody in the hallway and they're just like, whatever. Now, this is middle of the night.
Yes.
At a hospital.
She's a nurse leaving her shift.
Have you ever left a shift anywhere where you didn't say bye to people walking out the door? If you walked past the night person somewhere, you wouldn't be like...
She should have just been like, see you tomorrow. Or done something. Yeah.
Instead of just like suspiciously. Also, Emma pointed out at one point during this, she's laying in bed and also they have bright red blankets.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing a robe and the rope on it, like the tie on it, is like it's a straight up rope. Like noose rope. I'm like, they're in a psychiatric hospital.
There wouldn't be. I noticed a lot of things that were hinky about the room.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So in 19, well, it would have been like the 70s. In the 70s, when Vivian's escaping, he just, you know, walks out. Well, then he ends up he gets picked up by a police officer leaving the hospital. He ends up pulling a gun on the officer and then takes him somewhere and shoots him. He pulls the officer's own gun on him. Well, Claire does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Claire, what's up? Are we
Nothing.
Going super long?
No, I was looking at the time because it's getting like dinner time for the kiddies.
Oh, okay.
So I was going to message one of the upstairs people.
So Claire does the same thing. She gets flirty with the officer.
Mm-hmm.
But when she pulls a gun, grabs his gun, she just tells him to get out of the car. She scooches over and steals the police car.
Mm-hmm.
I've got so sidetracked from my notes because I just watched it yesterday, so I didn't need them. And now I'm trying to like... So, okay, both of them essentially had a police escort escape.
Yes.
I also wondered, so Vivian pulls the gun on the policeman, younger guy. They're parked where they're looking out on the lake. And he's like, I thought you wanted me to take you home. And he goes, I am home. And he says, you live in the lake or something like that. Wouldn't all the locals know about this abandoned?
You would think so, because all of the locals up here know about like weird shit in the area.
Yeah.
Like the caving grounds in Nagani. Like everybody knows about them.
So I think it's weird that It comes up a few times where people are, oh, there's a city underwater.
Fuck, that's weird. Like 2 miles down the road from us.
Yeah. And
that would be like a happening spot.
Oh, yeah. There'd be all sorts of stories about it. People would be hanging out on the beach. I don't know.
It yeah. Just... People would be snorkeling down there and all sorts of shit. Because like part of the church steeple is still like out of the water. Or was that just...
I think that was while they were filling
it. While they were filling it? Okay.
Because I think when you see the people scuba diving, you don't see...
Everything's covered. Yeah. Okay.
That was all on a set, too.
Okay.
They built that all on a set. It's not like a real place somewhere.
The underwater scenes were filmed in the same place that the Titanic water scenes were filmed.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I read that, too, and then I just...
Yeah.
I drew a blank.
Because it was around the same time of filming.
So Claire, after she steals the police car, she goes to the same spot where Vivian had shot the officer. And I think he pushes the car into the water.
I think so. Yeah.
So she's sitting there waiting for him. So this is the first time you see him.
Ooh.
So they meet. It's kind of... It's creepy.
It's weird.
He gives her directions. Now, the orchard from her visions.
I do want to say when she's in the car and she rolls down the window and Vivian's there, he says, "Want to come over to my house, Claire? I have to warn you, it's haunted." That's how he says haunted.
Haunted.
And I'm like, oh, it's like Moira. Moira Rose. It's quite haunted.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Ghostly ghouls and apparitions.
Apparitions? I want to watch Schitt's Creek more. Is it not on... It's not on Netflix anymore, is it?
It's on Hulu. Or...
Maybe.
Maybe it is on Hulu. We have Hulu.
So do we.
Okay.
Okay. So when she... is having visions of the orchard. It's actually a cider mill.
I'm just picturing Moira Rose walking with Claire now, and it's hilarious.
Like the winery episode where she's like trying to pronounce that guy's name and trying to do the commercial.
Erlanger.
And the wine is terrible.
It's terrible.
Banana, mango wine, and all the random shit. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is an issue I had with the cider mill. It's abandoned, however, full of apples. So, like, what's happening there?
There are just rotten apples. I'm like, how long ago was this? It's the good apple.
Because he lives there.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in the upstairs. That place
would fucking reek. Or maybe it would just smell like mulled apple.
No, it would smell like apple cider vinegar.
Mm.
Like if you've ever...
Pungent.
Stop. Okay. Pull it together.
We're so close.
I know. Vivian tells... It's so weird. So she parks the car like inside the barn doors of the orchard building of the cider mill.
Mm-hmm.
And he like holds her and then tells her all about murdering her daughter. It's bizarre.
Oh, it's bizarre. Mm-hmm.
And
but he is a serial killer.
True.
And he has a shit ton of childhood trauma. So
very true.
Yeah.
He also kind of like puts out his like intentions, like, you're gonna be mommy, I'm gonna be daddy, and Ruby is gonna be our daughter.
Why didn't he keep Rebecca?
Because she was bad.
Oh,
she's crying and bad and not listening to him.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Just like the other ones.
Just like the other ones. Okay.
Yeah. So far, though, Ruby is like taking this in stride because
Ruby's like, absolutely.
She's like, this is my doll. This is where I live now. This is my daddy. And she's just like, what the fuck?
Oh, therapy.
I mean,
therapy.
I'm glad that she is so ready to just roll with the punches on this one. Claire kind of gets what's happening, and she convinces Vivian to show her Ruby. She wants to get with Ruby. She wants to try to get her out of there. At this point, they realize that she bounced out of the hospital. Yeah. So the doctor is off to the hotel with police officers. They find Paul.
And he's being eaten.
By his dog.
By his dog.
They find him in the room that she says he's in.
Do you think they euthanize the dog?
Because
I don't know how it works in situations like this. Like in real life.
Well, the dog is tied up and starving. And it's not like it killed him and ate him.
True. Okay.
Like if you died in this house and your cats started eating you because they didn't have soft food for a day.
It would legitimately happen. They would eat my eyeballs.
Within 3 hours, soft tissue of your face, gone.
Ravenous beasts.
Yeah, your cats wouldn't be put down for that.
That's true.
They
just have a real taste for meat now.
It doesn't look like they were going to put down Precious in Silence of the Lambs.
She's
like, Precious is my dog now.
I love that dog.
Yeah, the last victim or the survivor takes Precious.
That's true.
I mean,
I would. And
is that how you got Cooper?
That's how I got Cooper.
I just thought of Joe Dirt. Like, what did he do to you while you were there? And he's like, nothing, man. I heard he did this. What?
He gave me a dog.
Okay. So, what I also couldn't figure out, too, is that she'd been in the hospital for a few days. Paul, nobody reported him missing. He didn't have to go to work. He
seemed really eager to get back to work, so I'm just curious as to why work hadn't notified her.
Yeah, or Mary. Mary's the housekeeper. He just is gone, vanishes for a few days. I thought that was... Whatever, though. It's just timeline bullshit. Claire is trying to convince Ruby to escape, so Vivian goes down and is making dinner. Because daddies can do mommy things, too.
Aww.
Which, I mean, that's true. Good.
Vivian's a better partner than Paul.
Minus the murders.
Minus the murders.
And the fact that when she tries to escape with Ruby, he fucking clocks her with a can of baked beans. Knocks her ass out.
Oh, gosh.
And then, so she wakes up and... She's wearing the bad mommy clothes.
The bad mommy clothes.
So when she first gets there and she's talking to Ruby and she's talking about escaping, there's a mannequin that has a dress on it. Very like 50s looking. Yeah.
It's like like couch cushion material almost.
Yes. It's like a business suit, which is also red. Burgundy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ruby's like, oh, that's daddy's mommy or whatever. And she goes, oh, that's just a dress mannequin. And then she says, oh, well, that's the clothes his mommy used to wear.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, I know that it's just a mannequin, but.
And she's like, I'm just hanging out.
It makes Vivian happy. It makes daddy happy.
Clubhouse.
Okay.
And he apparently puts on the clothes when he's playing mommy.
Whatever.
Okay. That just seems...
It's very Norman Bates.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she wakes up and she's tied up and she's in the bad mommy clothes because she wasn't being a very good mommy.
Poor Claire.
I know. It's so bad. Well, then they all cuddle up for bedtime.
I chuckled at this because when Mike and I go to bed, we pull Cooper up in between us and give him side-by-side kisses every single night.
Yeah.
Cooper will jump up and we're just like, oh, side by side kisses. And we pull him up on his back and give him kisses. And then he goes to the end of the bed.
I'm calling the police. I'm leaving right now.
Okay.
That's disgusting.
He's adorable. So I don't care. But when Ruby and Vivian like kiss Claire goodnight, I was like, oh, it's side by side kisses.
Yeah. They like kissed her goodnight, and they're all, and she's tied up, laying she's on like, the bed,
okay.
And they're all like snuggling together. And there's a fucking cat there too. Did you see the cat?
I didn't see the cat.
Yeah, there's a cat curled up next to Vivian, an orange cat. Just they have a pet cat too.
This is perfect. Perfect little home life.
I guess Greg and I are, we do, I guess, different things with our animals because we have the two kittens right now and we nicknamed them because I'm like, they're so disgusting. I can't handle looking at them when they're like doing really adorable things. Mm-hmm. So Jones, we nicknamed Puke, and Ziggy is Poop. So I'll be like, oh my God, look at the bed. There's puke all over it. It's disgusting. And it'll be Jones like laying in the most adorable way.
Yeah.
Or I'll be like,
weird shit too.
I'll be like, why is there, there's poop on the living room carpet and it is so gross. And Greg will go look and it's Ziggy doing something adorable, curled up all cute.
He's like, hey.
Yeah. So we have poop and puke.
All I'm saying is I will look at dog pictures all day, every day before I will look at children pictures.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'll start snapping you more pictures of the cats.
Yes.
Doing please. Adorable cat things. Mm-hmm. Okay. So back to what we're talking about. This movie, we're never going to get through it. And it was only an hour and 40 minutes long.
God.
The podcast is going to be longer than the movie was. I'm kind of like slap happy right
Me
now.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Vivian dreams of Claire dead in the water. And he wakes up like from a nightmare.
And is very emotional about it
and
too.
And he's crying. Yeah. And she kind of like calms him down. But when she gets up, she manages to kick him in the face and escape with Ruby.
Yeah.
Now, Ruby, she sends her out the front door. She's like, he doesn't want you. He's after me. So Ruby bolts. Well, then Vivian, who also is having, because he's also having these visions,
yeah.
being psychically connected, he's like, you know what's going to happen next? She's going to run to the street where a police car gets her. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Because he knows at this point, like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Maybe not that necessarily, but they get in a pretty brutal fight
mm-hmm.
At one point. She's standing in like the top of a silo and he like says she's not going to jump and she jumps and falls like 20 feet onto her back in a pile of apples.
Rotten apples. So they're probably squishy.
But like, still. No, not a broken rib.
Nothing.
Not a twisted ankle.
Ugh.
Not, doesn't even knock the wind out of her.
Mm-mm.
She just hops right up and keeps running. She'd be unconscious, at least for
yeah.
a little bit. Now, they go on a chase. In the meantime, 20 billion police show up. A SWAT team shows up. There's helicopters flying
because
all around.
Because now they finally believe her.
They finally believe her. Well, he has the gun that she stole from the police.
Yeah.
This is... I'll circle back to it before, like, the end. But anyway, she's running across the top of a dam and she's trying to like wave to the police that his gun isn't loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't know.
Just so they don't think it's a hostage situation that they
but
can just
he has
shoot
a sickle.
Right.
So she's running thinking she's escaping, but she actually like runs into him. So he has the gun to her head mm-hmm. and then he has the like sickle kind of around her neck.
Yeah.
And she's waving to the police that the gun, trying to signal the gun isn't loaded.
Yeah.
Well, they end up falling into the water.
Mm-hmm.
They both fall a bazillion feet into like the churning water at the bottom of the dam. Sad while she's underwater. There's kind of back and forth between like real time and then like dreamland. They roll her over and she's like face up and then you see her underwater and her daughter is talking to her.
I was thinking to myself that I wish she would have lived, but then the next scene couldn't happen. So
yes,
I have torn emotions.
She was so upset about her daughter dying.
Yeah.
And then her husband died.
Yeah.
It's how long would she have went before she killed herself?
Right.
I mean, I know that's a horrible thing to say.
Yes.
But, like, she tried twice.
Mm-hmm.
and was having like these episodes and going through hell, you know, with this guy in her head. What I want to know is how this is all the same reservoir, right?
It's the same reservoir.
They find her daughter in it. She crashes her car into it after they find the daughter. And then she somehow runs through the woods and gets held captive, and they both fall into it. Now, when she's telling the police, like, orchards, it's an apple orchard. That's what's in her visions. They wouldn't think, hey, there's a cider mill 3 miles down the road. Yes. Why don't we look there?
No kidding. Well, the officer makes a comment like, oh, there are so many orchards like around the area.
Well, he says it too. But he's like, after he believes her, he says, oh, we searched every orchard within 100 miles of here.
Okay, what about fucking cider mills? Anything that has to do with apples.
But what about the cider mill
that's with right an orchard on the reservoir
painted on the front of it that I'm sure he could Google apples near me and it would just pop up?
Not at that time.
Oh, yeah. 99?
Yeah.
He could have looked for it on what were some of the
map
other
quest.
Like, what?
MapQuest.
He could have, yeah, MapQuest.
Was MapQuest was a thing?
Oh, what was like the main internet server back
Jeeves,
then?
Jeeves or Ask Jeeves.
There was Ask Jeeves, but I'm thinking like Netscape.
Netscape with the little moon and the N.
Okay. So she passes away.
She dead.
Now he's sitting in court. And they're like, we want to give you the death penalty, but we can't because you've been deemed
criminally insane.
Criminally insane. So life in a psychiatric hospital.
Morbid does a podcast on when that switched from being able to like lethal and like do corporal punishment. Not corporal punishment, is it?
The death penalty?
The death penalty on criminally insane people. And when they stopped being able to do that. Like, they did one on the court case. And it was super interesting.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
They don't always do, like, murdery ones. Like, they do, like, lobotomy ones and stuff like that. But because for a while, they could do the death penalty on criminally insane up until, like, 1910 or something. It was wild.
I would imagine longer than that.
Yeah.
Like 1910, people were like making
still.
Soda with cocaine in it and
yeah,
everything had opium in it. And
I'll have to look it up, but it was interesting. Anyway,
yeah, yeah, people could still be tried as witches.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you're gonna try someone and execute them as a witch, someone criminally insane would definitely like. Mm-hmm. There's no.
I'll look it up after.
Area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's sitting there and he gets his punishment assigned, whatever. What is it? Punishment?
Yeah. Whatever.
And he goes, I can live with that. And then he goes and he's in a cell and he's looking in the mirror and he looks around and he's like, I can live with this too.
Yeah. He's like totally fine.
I wonder, too, so they gave him colored contacts.
Yeah.
And at the time, they were not like they
glass.
Are now.
Weren't they still glass? Or were they like a...
No, when I had contacts in high school, they were plastic.
Okay.
I think I never remember a time with glass contacts. That was like way back.
80s.
In the 80s, when they did horror special effects and stuff, they were glass and painful. And
yeah.
And I wonder if it's because the main character in the book maybe had blue eyes.
Yeah. Because his eyes, like, don't look right.
No.
Like, at all.
But it also kind of makes him look crazier.
Yeah.
Well, he's, like, sits there and thinks, like, everything is going to be fine. And, oh, no, Claire is haunting him and she is going to torture him.
Oh, she's living her best ghost life.
Best ghost life.
So he's, like, laying in bed and he's, like, all snug as a bug, whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, blood starts, like, pouring from the walls. And
blood.
It's just, like...
And I can't remember. There's things written on the walls. And he's freaking out, terrified. And he is looking in the mirror. And, oh, no, he has a dream that she's, like, kissing him. And then she bites him super hard. And when he's looking in the mirror, like, hands come out of the mirror and smash his face into it. And
she's doing exactly what he did to her.
Yes. Like, I'm going to terrorize you.
Sucks to suck. Loser. Yep.
For the end of days, until probably, I would imagine, a very short life.
Yes.
Either he's going to do it or she's going to do it for him.
Right.
And
that's the end.
And that's the end. It ends on a very scary note.
Yeah.
I have always liked this movie.
Mm-hmm. I have mixed emotions. I liked it. I thought it was okay. I would probably like watch it every once in a while, but I'm not like super attached to it.
Mm-hmm. I've just always thought it was good. And that's... Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
It's very different. It kind of reminds me of... there was a movie with... not Clara Danes, but she was another blonde actress around that time.
Kirsten Dunst.
No. But it was this, and Jeff Goldblum was in it.
Ooh.
And he was having visions of a killer. It's based on a Dean Koontz book. Hideaway.
Oh, Hideaway is the movie. Yes.
Which, this kind of reminds me of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's seeing what the killer is seeing, and then the killer ends up like hanging out with his daughter.
Ew.
So he's like seeing
this. He sees it all.
But the killer finds out about the daughter because he's seeing like Jeff Goldblum's.
Dean Koontz is such a good author.
Yeah. The book is creepy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I liked it.
Yeah. Gore.
Zero.
Yeah. One? It wasn't. Maybe a one.
The only thing I can think of is when Paul gets killed and he's wearing sunglasses and gets something poked through his eye. And you see like blood, but it's not like from
a
person.
It's not bad.
Scariness. I don't think it's that scary.
Like a one. One or two. It's creepy.
It's creepy. I'd say two.
Yeah.
Especially if that sort of like ghosty...
Dreams scare you.
Dreams. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scary dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it.
It was okay. Anyway, that was In Dreams. If you like what you hear and you want to know what we're going to be doing in the future or whatever, please follow us on Instagram. It's /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, /your movie review. And if iTunes and Spotify aren't your jam, listen to us every Friday night on mtrsradio.com at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. I hope everyone has a good night and a good week.
Bye.
Bye.